Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I got to confess that as a pastor, some Sundays I'm getting ready for the service early in the week. I'm thinking, what am I going to preach on this Sunday? That's not the case today. So much has happened. We've seen so much on the television and read about in the papers, the flooding, the devastation, the hundreds of hungry people, or the thousands of hungry, the hundreds of dead. We're just overwhelmed, and we become depressed because we think, what can I do, and how can this happen? But I want to begin this morning by telling you that many of our sister churches have been affected in Mississippi and Louisiana and nearby areas. The St. Paul Lutheran Church in New Orleans, the stained glass was blown out and the steeple crashed off and fell through their school. But the pastor, Pastor Goodine, and 60 people of the community rode out the storm in the church basement, even as the church was being flooded. All are reported safe, but as of yesterday, they're still there waiting to be rescued. They're still there at the church stranded. One pastor in New Orleans got flooded out, and so he left with his family. The day he left, his wife was due to have a child. So they got in the car with their children and two elderly members in their 80s from the congregation, and they headed towards Houston. They got diverted and haven't heard where they ended up. Many such stories. And now nearby congregations are helping. Trinity and Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Baton Rouge have opened up to house refugees. And earlier this week, they had 60 people, mostly children, from Bethlehem Lutheran Home in New Orleans come and stay with them until Lutheran Family and Social Services resettle the children in Texas. I'm not sure whether it was developmentally disabled children or orphans, but they are safe. We can thank God. In our Southern District, churches have turned into places of refuge from the storm. These churches need help. They're just overwhelmed. They're full of refugees who need food and clothing. In Baton Rouge alone, by Friday, 300,000 people had moved into this town and doubled its population. And they say there's many things they need, but right now the best thing that we can do is send money down to these churches to help them feed and clothe all these people who are dependent on them. This Sunday, churches throughout our country are gathering offerings to help, to feed, clothe, and care for victims. We're gathering an offering here at St. John after the service, and we will again next Sunday, and I suppose as long as we need to help them bear the burden of the people who've come. Our epistle reading for today from Romans chapter 13 tells us how important our government is. Right now, our leaders are trying to do everything they can to bring relief. This brings out the best and the worst in people, these kind of situations, disasters. With all the crime and looting we've heard about this week, Paul's words about not being afraid of the government and its representatives unless you're doing something wrong really holds true, doesn't it? He does not bear the sword for nothing. And we can say, thanks be to God that we have a government, law enforcement in our communities. Otherwise, the things that have been going on in New Orleans with rioting and even the taking of people's life would be everyday events around us. God is gracious to watch over us. And that's one thing we see at times like this. But the best in people also comes out at these times. I've heard about people from Lutheran churches in Missouri getting together chainsaw teams, just people that have chainsaws, and going down to New Orleans right away in the surrounding community to cut people out of their homes and churches where they've been holed up. They can't get out from limbs and trees that have fallen. Supplies are pouring in, as well as stories of Christian love and support. And as I said, churches are opening to provide services, clothing, education for displaced families. They need our help too. Oh, we have heard many of those that say our government is at fault, it isn't doing enough. Therefore, as Christians, we should heed what the Bible says and pray for our leaders, And remember that the Bible says that they represent God, that He has placed them in positions over us. And they must give an account to God for how they use that power to serve the people, but we should support them. In our epistle today, God tells us that we should support them, first of all, by paying our taxes. We should also pray for our leaders. And remember that the Bible says that they are there by God's accounting. We should give our respect and honor those that God has placed in positions over us for the welfare of all. But especially we hear the words of God through his apostle Paul today in this chapter, giving us those instructions to love one another. Many people are asking, why does God let this happen? Where is the love of God in all of this suffering? We remember 4 years ago this time, we asked this on 9/11. I've heard some people suggest that the people of New Orleans are responsible for this because of their immorality. And they mentioned things that go on during Mardi Gras and so forth. Does God really punish certain people because they're guiltier than others? People asked Jesus about this one time. In his day, a tower fell down in Jerusalem and killed 18 people. Were they worse than other people? Why did they die? Was it a judgment on them? The Lord Jesus said no. But he used that opportunity to warn the people and say, we all need to repent because the judgment of God is coming to us. This tells us that it is not God's fault when these tragedies happen. Really, it is our fault. Tragedies like this teach us that the world is broken. Man's rebellion against God has caused it. We call that rebellion sin. When we see times like this, these tragedies around us that the Lord told us would happen, we should see it as another sign that we are in the end times and the judgment is coming. God said there would be wars and rumors of war, famines, earthquakes, all kinds of tribulation, that these were signs of the end times, that the end is near. The Bible says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he that stands firm to the end will be saved. No, it is not a specific sin on anybody in New Orleans or the community at large. It is the sin of all mankind, all of us, that God allows these things to happen. God judges sin and has withdrawn some of his sustaining power from the world, which causes floods and injuries and hunger and death and disease like cancer and other things. But this is not the final word from God. He has also provided a way of salvation for all people. He has come into our world personally in the person of Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him and what he accomplished there on the cross will receive salvation from a world that is dying. I don't mean to minimize the suffering of those in this disaster at all, or the sadness that so many people have died, especially the children and elderly. The epistle says to us today, love your neighbor as yourself, for love is the fulfillment of the law. We are to bear one another's burdens, just as Jesus Christ bore the burden of our sin for us on the cross. And seeing what Christ has done for us and carrying us in that way causes a desire in us to help others. We want to help. We want to alleviate suffering. We want to counsel and comfort the grieving and those who've lost their homes and their loved ones. We want to help them with the basic needs of life. But as we do that, we should remember that is the greatest concern that we should have is for people's souls. Each soul, regardless of its sufferings or luxuries, will have to live forever in heaven or hell. Our years on earth are just a blink of an eye in comparison to our eternity. And while we rush to the assistance of those who've lost everything, we are also to remind them of the meaning of life, that it does not consist in the amount of possessions or security. Jesus, our Lord, said to us very clearly, he said, "Lay up for yourselves not treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Surely we want to feed and clothe a neighbor because they are precious to God, but at the same time we want to proclaim to them the good news of God's love in the midst of such a catastrophe. Where would we be if we did not have the blood of Christ to provide for our atonement, that payment for our sins? We save these people only to see them die another day. But with Christ, they can live forever. So what is more important, I ask you, to rush to the aid of the southern states or to rush the gospel to all people? It's not that we must do one or the other. We are to do both. We are gathering an offering for aid today. And next Sunday, we ask you to prayerfully consider what your family can do to help our brothers and sisters who are in need. But you know, every Sunday, every time we have a service here, we are also gathering aid to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to God's people. That's an emergency that never ends, and everyone needs to hear the good news. Besides this, you have an opportunity coming up here in the next couple of weeks to make a difference in someone's life here at our church. Next Sunday, our congregation celebrates 150 years of this, bringing this message of God's grace to the community and to the families of this congregation and to all who enter these doors. And on Sunday, September 18th, we will have a Friends and Family Sunday, when you're encouraged to bring a friend or a family member here to church. As we do so, we remember we don't have all the answers to those who are grieving the death of their loved ones in this tragedy, nor do we have the means to restore everything that's been lost. But we do have the ability to say the words, "I care about you," and to offer some kind of physical means of help. And we have that opportunity to tell them about the love of Christ and what that means for us. Yes, this week shows us that our lives are fragile and they are temporary. There comes a day of judgment for all of us. But this hurricane is also an opportunity to remember and proclaim that for those who trust in Christ Jesus, that judgment that's coming to the world has already been made. We have been judged by God, and we have been declared not guilty of sin for what Jesus has done for us, and for that reason only. We have been forgiven by God, the judge of all souls. And we can face the day of our death with confidence, knowing that those who have lost house or home or possessions or family that they love for the kingdom of God have been promised that they will not fail to receive many times the blessings in the kingdom of heaven. Yes, it is time for us to pray. To pray for those people who suffer this tragedy. To pray for our pastors and churches, some of whose whereabouts are not clear at this time. To pray for our government, thanking God for it and asking God to strengthen it in this time of need. And to pray for our own outreach, that God would bless our message as we show care and concern to others, as well as the people coming to our town, 19 people so far that we know of that have come to this town and need assistance. May God bless your prayers, your words, and your actions in these days ahead, in your help to others and your witness to Christ, our gracious Lord. In his name, amen.